Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
How bad? Because they haven't even seen him in game action.
They know.
Well, I guess they did the other day.
Yeah, he played.
Okay, he did fumble once.
Yeah.
How bad must they think he is to, like, force this guy off of crutches into the game?
Yeah, but you put a couple things in there, words in there, like qualifiers that don't need to be in there. Okay. They don't think he's bad.
Okay.
They know it. We saw it.
We'll find out in game.
We watched. Remember? When he was the starting quarterback with no competition last year for the Atlanta Falcons, and then we watched it, and he couldn't do it over and over and over, and we had to be like, well, maybe he's learning.
No, they also have no arguments. Like, it's not like he stepped into better talent around him. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like,
No, it's a bad situation and a bad quarterback, and obviously the story would be entertaining from our perspective if Desmond Ridder were to play in the game. No one else anywhere cares about that. So, I mean, it's not like some big national storyline if Desmond plays. But if he plays, it's entertaining for Falcons fans and certainly for us to talk about. It doesn't matter if Desmond Ridder plays or Aiden O'Connell plays. The Falcons need to win this game.
The team's got, what, two wins? Three wins?
They got two wins. They got nine losses.
It's not because Desmond Ridder has been quarterbacking them.
They've lost games with Gardner Minshew playing quarterback. They've lost games with Aiden O'Connell playing quarterback. They've lost games where Desmond Ridder has played. They're a bad football team.
They lost games when they had Devontae.
They're probably going to fire Antonio Pierce at the end of the season. I know I saw Davis was asked about it at the owners' meetings yesterday, and he didn't commit to anything. Said he was unhappy with the way it had gone and all that stuff, which he should be unhappy with the way that it's gone. They're really bad now. Maybe you shouldn't have hired a guy who didn't have any experience, who like got guys to get fired up over a couple wins late in the season. But you did, so you sleep in the bed you made. The question for Falcons fans is, can Kirk Cousins snap out of this? Can he have a performance that can at least lead you to have a little bit of confidence about his ability to close this season out, get the Falcons in the playoffs, and maybe do something there? That's what we need to see on Monday night.
So, but here's the question, though. Like, for him to snap out of this, as you put it, and I think that's what we are all looking for, they have to determine why he's fallen into this. And I'm not convinced that they know why. That's the biggest concern for me.
I don't think they do. I don't think
it doesn't just happen. Something has got to be triggering the issues.
What do you think it is?
Honestly,
at the end of the show yesterday, me and Randy kind of got there, and I'll rehash some of the stuff that I said in a couple minutes. But because he was playing pretty good football, solid football early, not great, and then kind of stepped into a really good run of play between that first Tampa game and the Cowboys.
And that's
game.
Why it's so confusing.
Yeah. And then the last 4 weeks, it's just been like a huge drop off. Now, here's the thing though. Like some of the details, obviously zero touchdowns, eight interceptions, fumbles, no wins, all that stuff. That's the most important stuff. Still a lot of completions in there. There's still a lot of yards in
there.
They
move the ball.
They're still moving the ball a lot. Like there's still, it's not just that he's out there.
They haven't been completely inept on offense.
A complete and utter inept bum.
Right.
He's out there just making a lot more mistakes and paying for those mistakes more than he was earlier in the season. But there's still those glimmers of like, oh, that was a good throw. Oh, that was a good play. Oh, that worked. I'm not sitting here trying to defend the play.
No, but that makes it so much more tougher to diagnose.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does.
I'll tell you what, and I may be speaking completely out of turn here. I think it comes down to trust. I think he certainly lost trust in Kyle Pitts. We understand that. I don't think he trusts the offensive line. I think we've seen some of these interceptions where he has a clean pocket and doesn't know it. where he double pumps because he's worried that on the first attempt his arm's going to get hit, stuff like that. I think he might have lost trust in Zach Robinson as a play caller. I think he's lost trust in receivers getting open. I think he may have lost trust in himself, in his decision making, in his arm, in his footwork. Like I think on all fronts there just may be a complete breakdown of trust, because that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Unless we want to sit here and say that he is injured, and he is still limited by that.
I don't think he's injured.
Okay, so check that one off.
Well, but it's not that, though. Like, I think the fact that he got injured last year and had to rehab from it and try to bounce back and play coming off of it is part of it. And again, it's not an excuse.
Right.
I just think maybe it's trust. I don't know. I don't know how you go from that being a thing early in the season to then there being trust, and then now we're to this point where we don't trust again.
Like, if it's not physical.
I think it is physical. I think it is physical. I don't think I don't think it's an injury. I think it's an age thing. I think, because here's what I know about, and again, eight.
But even how does that explain what happened the first 9 games when you're 6-3?
I know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's
all I know is watching this guy play. And again, this is my eye test, my opinion. I'm not some sort of doctor or whatever. But like, you, Kirk Cousins' success, his entire career, has always been based on like a lot of really thin marginal things coming together at the in good timing in order for him to overcome some of the physical limitations that he has. He's never been some great athlete. He's never had a great arm. He's never been fast or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's always been like preparation and hard work and timing and trust, like you're talking about, and all these things that had to come together in order to simultaneously make up for what he lacked physically. I just think over time, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, you don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you can't do it anymore. It just gradually, over the course of a season of getting hit,
okay,
and getting sacked and not recover, can't recover every week the way that you recovered the week before, as time goes on, this sort of erodes away at you slowly. And at some point it happens to everybody. And again, he still has the ability. 23 completions against New Orleans, 18 against Denver, 24 against the Chargers, and 23 against Minnesota. He still, on a play-in, play-out basis, has the ability to get it done. I just think that margin for error that was already incredibly slim has gotten so much slimmer that when he makes a throw that's close, when he makes a throw, yeah, that's interceptable,
right,
or needs to be in a tight window, or the timing has to be perfect, I just think that tiny little sliver of margin has shrunk so much to where now they're coming up with interceptions.
You guys joked about something at the end of the show yesterday, which I don't think is a joke, and I think there's a realistic aspect of it. You talked about every throw, Kirk is gritting his teeth, and it looks this and that. You know what? And by the way, I've noticed this for a couple of weeks now, and I didn't notice it at the start of the season. Throws don't. He looks like an actor in a football movie that isn't a quarterback making a throw. And I say that because they just don't look right. Even the completions, they don't look right. It doesn't come out. His motion looks off, and I'm not trying to break down and say there is something physical. All I'm seeing is that, boy, that throw looked like it's a lot tougher than it should have been for him. And look, I have to post articles, right, and I have to go on USA Today images, and I search Kirk Cousins, and half of these are action shots, and you see him throwing. In every single one of them, pearly whites.
Yeah, but that's not new. He's always done
it. Maybe it is, and maybe I haven't watched enough.
But again, that gets back to what we're talking about. Like, in order for it to even have ever happened, it's been all of these like all of these odds that he's defied his entire career of like, all right, it's going to take a little extra oomph for him to get a ball into a spot that the average quarterback with average arm strength is going to be able to do. In order for him to beat that defender, he's going to have it timed out right and have studied perfectly and know the guy's tendencies and get it
so
over the top.
What we're suggesting is that in a career where he's had to be close to perfect for it to work,
yeah,
he has to be even more perfect now.
And he can't, because no one can.
Right.
And because it's so hard to do that, when that margin thins out just a little bit more, a lot more mistakes are made. Because here's the thing. Like, you can go back throughout the course of the season for sure, but even over the last 4 games where there's been 8 interceptions, there's been 15 balls that could have been intercepted.
Right.
Even big plays that were made were this close.
Well, the Ray McLeod down the left sideline 2 games ago is a pickable ball.
There's just a handful of them every single game where even ones that turn out to be huge, great, big plays for the offense. And this is true of a lot of quarterbacks. Like, it's the NFL. It's a split-second league where it comes down to you either make the decision on time or you don't. And maybe that does come back to what you're talking about. Maybe it is a trust thing.
So
because if you don't trust it, that slows down that process as well, and then that leads to these mistakes being made. I don't know if it's that. Maybe it is.
But here's the other question for the offense.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you make it so he doesn't have to be perfect? And how much would that take away from what you can do offensively? Because that might be the task. If you're not going to change quarterbacks, which it looks like they're not, how do you make it so he doesn't have to do that? And how bad does the offense become?
But that's so hard. Like,
I agree.
If you're now getting to the point where it's like, all right, we got to really scale things back because
it's not a good offense.
Well, it's not acceptable to have that. If you have another option,
then go to the other guy.
Draft pick, then you have to do that.
I agree.
Like in years past, where it's been like, I don't know, Marcus Mariota's limited. Certainly.
A lot of different discussions about who that other guy is.
The guy behind him, yeah, I can't do that. Last year, it's like, I don't know, Ritter, I mean, he's got arm talent. He just makes bad decisions. But who's behind him? It's Taylor Heinicke. Like, nobody really wants to see that. You want to see it because it's different. You don't really need to see it to know what it is. Now it's a first-round draft pick. Like, it's a different deal. And again, like we said, I don't remember who we're talking about, but you sleep in the bed you made. Raheem acknowledged it last week, and he's right. They didn't want this kind of smoke if Kirk wasn't playing well. Don't draft a quarterback in the first round because you're asking for it. Everybody always wants to see the backup quarterback, especially when it's a first-round draft pick, and then started not playing very well.